Welcome to Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Assistant Editor Skylar Jeremias. Biologic drug development requires complex processes to obtain desired results, and biosimilar manufacturing is no exception. However, biosimilar developers often run into complications when seeking approval from regulatory authorities. A recent study of failed applications for biosimilar approval revealed multiple reasons why biosimilar applications in the United States and Europe have been such a challenge. We sat down with Dr. Anurag Rathore, lead author of the study and coordinator of the Center of Excellence for Biopharmaceutical Technology in Delhi, India, to discuss the findings from this study and how biosimilar corporations can learn from them. So, Dr. Rathore, what's significant about some of the reasons for the rejected applications and for withdrawals of applications?
The first one was issues with comparability, which I'm not surprised because comparability obviously is a major regulatory expectation for a biosimilar drug. So it's not surprising that also becomes a major hurdle because that's one of the most common reasons why an application, you know, would get rejected. But then I was a bit surprised by things like, you know, process validation and GMP, and some of these rejections are happening to pretty large companies, even companies like, you know, Amgen or Mylan. I mean, these are companies that have gone through many, many products and many, many approvals. They know what is required. But I think in general, most of the rejections are obviously from smaller companies. And I think it's just because they are maybe smaller, and in general, biosimilar manufacturers tend to be with somewhat limited resources compared to the larger major innovator companies. So I guess I would say lack of experience probably. So lack of experience with respect to what are the expectations in terms of having proper process control, following good manufacturing practices, how to do validation, stuff like that. So I think maybe that's what it was, but I was surprised by how many rejections were actually on that basis.
Ultimately, would you say regulatory intervention is a very positive process? Are the number and type of rejections that are happening quite valid reasons for rejecting these processes or products as they move along?
So there are two ways actually to look at it. One is, if you look at the rejections, you're absolutely right. At least I feel that most of the rejections are valid and they are for the right reasons. And manufacturers should have basically done what they did not. They deserve to be rejected. But I also would like to say that, you know, in this business, a good way to put hurdle in a manufacturer's path is to basically just keep asking for more information. So that won't show up in the rejection, right? Because in reality, you never rejected the application. But if you basically ask for more and more comparative trials or larger and larger trials, then you see the whole thing becomes less attractive to a manufacturer because then the manufacturer has actually ended up spending the same amount of money as the innovator drug. That is something that I think particularly the US FDA has to kind of watch out for, because even today, kind of clinical program that they ask for is kind of more than most other jurisdictions. And that's the way it becomes a hurdle automatically, because not many companies can afford actually to give that kind of data. So hopefully over time, as the American regulators become more at ease with biosimilars, so hopefully they will gradually lower that bar. Yeah.
Please compare the European regulatory environment and the FDA regulatory process with what's happening elsewhere in the world with biosimilars. Do you feel that standards are gradually moving up, or that other countries are basically relying on the FDA, the World Health Organization, and the EMA to do this job for them?
So I would say that's again less to do with the biosimilars. It's more of a general biotherapeutic question. I mean, you're absolutely right that obviously the EMA and the FDA are by far the leaders in deciding how to regulate these products. And a lot of countries depend on them. And simply because I think the level of expertise the amount of experience, all these things are, it's an order of magnitude higher in these two agencies than say the next agency. But part of the reason also is that if you look at the size of the market, that the US, like more than half of the global market is just US. And then Europe is like another one third of the global market. So that also is a big reason why these regulators play a very important role. But I think over time, as other economies pick up, so China obviously has come up a long way. India is gradually rising, and so are many other economies. So as they become bigger, I would guess that you have regulatory agencies will play a role. But as of today, you're absolutely right. I mean, EMA and FDA are obviously way ahead of everybody else.
How would you summarize some of the conclusions from the report and some of your findings? What do you think would be good advice for biosimilar companies to follow or be aware of as we go forward?
Things that at least we concluded out of the study was that, I mean, the obvious things which I think all biosimilar manufacturers already know is that, of course, you need to have a good comparability package, right? The molecule has to match the innovator molecule in the analytical comparability package and your PKPD studies, your clinical comparability study. So that is kind of obvious that I think everybody knows. But I think the thing which probably people don't realize is that besides the molecule and having the right molecule, it's equally important to have a well-designed process, a well-controlled process that can deliver same product quality consistently over a long period of time and kind of invest those resources before you apply for approval so that regulator knows that, okay, you have done that work and yes, you have a well-controlled process. So I think that's something that a lot of biosimilar manufacturers kind of miss out on, and that's something that I think they need to know. That too is important. Otherwise, everybody's too much focused on the product.
Well, Dr. Rathore, thank you for sharing your insights with us. And thank you to our listeners for tuning into this episode of Not So Different. You can find additional information in the show notes. And until next time, you can visit us at centerforbiosimilars.com.